Good evening. All 25 or 26 of you.
Amen.
That's an amen. Welcome to our 2025 watch night. We have two watches, talent, and I cannot wait to see the talent that's on the program, and hopefully you will all enjoy it. I know one person in particular has gone all in, so we look forward to that treat. But I am so glad that you all are here tonight. Hopefully we will have fun. We will enjoy the fellowship of being together in the house of the Lord. So I just lift my hands and say thank you, Lord God Almighty, for bringing us through this year. It's been tough. It's been good. But at the end of the day, you were in control of it all, and we thank you. So what I would like to do now is put the program in the hands of our master of ceremony, Minister William West. Hopefully soon he will be Reverend William West.
Well, hey, well, let's say say amen.
Amen.
All right. It's good to see everybody. It's good to see here. Let's give God a hand clap of praise for one more year. God is good and all the time. Let's sing a song. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Since I laid my burdens down. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Since I laid my burdens down. And I feel better. So much better since I laid my burdens down. And I feel better, so much better since I laid my burdens down. Burdens down, Lord. Come on, y'all. Burdens down, Lord, since I laid my burdens down. Burdens down, Lord. Burdens down, Lord, since I laid my burdens down. To make sure we are decent and in order, I'm going to ask Reverend Bryant to come and give us a prayer.
Let us bow. Most gracious Lord, Lord of our past, Lord of our present, and Lord of our future. Right. We thank you that you have brought us thus far by faith. We are united with one another by the blood of Christ, and we're joined together with love from heart to heart. We thank you for those assembled here tonight. We thank you for our congregation. We've been on a path this year that has led us to new beginnings. We've crossed a lot of bridges, and we know there will be more bridges to cross. Lord, we ask that you, by your grace, that we will cross those bridges with the faith and trust that was given to us when we first believed. Thank you, Lord, for this service. Thank you for the fact that we hold hands with one another and we hold on to you for all we are worth, because we know that you are the way. You have given us this season to remember why you came. Let us remember that throughout the coming year, that you will never leave us. You came and you've not left. You've left us with the Comforter. And most of all, you left us with each other one by one. And let us be thankful for the fact that we can walk together, that we can praise your name, that we can lift up your presence in this church and in this world. Bless this service again, we ask in the name of Jesus. Bless those people who have decided that they would participate. We just love that. And bless those people who have worked so hard to bring this together. and bless our pastor who is with us always in prayer and always in praise. Let us have a good new year. Amen.
Amen.
Let your say amen. 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 Devotion. Song, scripture, prayer. That travels wherever you go. Whatever denomination, whatever country, whatever nation. Song, scripture, prayer is devotion. Amen. All right. It's time to have some talent. Amen. And I see that I think that's everybody. I think everybody's on the program. Is that right? No, not everybody. People say, no. But we will start out with a video from our line dancers. All right. And then we will have a poetry reading from Sister Akimbala. All right. Let's see. Video. Let's do it. Hey, Kanika, can you play that again? That was good. Kanika, can you run that back? Well, let's do our poetry, then we can run it back if you need more time. Oh, here we go.
Well, good evening.
Good evening.
That wasn't enough. We need more. Good evening. It is a joy to be here this evening. I'm going to share with you one of my favorite poems, one that has kind of helped shape the way I have tried to live. I don't know if I'm quite there, but I've tried. The title is The House by the Side of the Road. It was written in 1898 by Sam Walter Foss. There are hermit souls that live withdrawn in the peace of their self-contentment. There are souls like stars that dwell apart in a fellowless firmament. There are pioneer souls that blaze their paths where highways never ran. But let me live by the side of the road and be a friend to man. Let me live in a house by the side of the road where the race of men go by. The men who are good and the men who are bad, as good or as bad as I. I would not sit in the scorner's seat or hurl the cynic's ban. Let me live in a house by the side of the road and be a friend to man. I see from my house by the side of the road, by the side of the highway of life, the men who are pressed with the ardor of hope, the men who are faint with strife. But I turn not away from their smiles nor their tears, both parts of an infinite plan. Let me live in my house by the side of the road, and be a friend to man. I know there are brook-gladen meadows ahead, and mountains of wearisome height, that the road passes on through long afternoon and stretches away into the night. But still I rejoice when the with the travelers and weep with the strangers that mourn, nor live in my house by the side of the road like a man who dwells alone. Let me live in a house by the side of the road where the race of men go by. They are good, they're bad, they're weak, they're strong, wise, foolish. So am I. Then why should I sit in the scorner's seat or hurl the cynic's ban? Let me live in a house by the side of the road and be a friend to man. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Let's give Sister Ackenbach a little hand. We got time. So I'm going to do this. Now I ask you to respect what I'm about to do. Let's get some feedback. What did you hear, feel from that poem? Just share. Be kind. Compassion. Thoughtful. Self-reflected. Mm-hmm. You said be a friend? Be a friend. This is the time when we need to reflect on how we approach our relationships to our friends, our family, and also to our neighbor. So thank you, Sister Ackenbauer. Beautiful. 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 All right. I love Sister Goldine when she does these she's been doing them for many years. I love these poems because she has it down packed, and I hope you are recording these because they're classics. So let's give Sister Goldine a hand as she comes and shares. I love her.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I have to say, I grew up listening to my mom and my Aunt Laura recite poems, Negro dialect poems. So I will try to do my best. The first one is Charlie's Arithmetic. How you dish your morning, Fessa? You sure looking span and spick. I just come up to push you out about my Charlie's Arithmetic. I don't want no Raz nor Rick. All I want from you is to teach my boy some arithmetic. Now don't worry about that reading, cause that just ain't his pick. The only thing I ask you do is get him some arithmetic. I don't care nothing about that spelling. Learning, that's just a trick. Fessa, I'm speaking for myself. Teach my child his arithmetic. Now just forget about all that philosophy, cause none of my family gets sick. The only thing I ask you, Fessa, is make him get his arithmetic. Now you can forget about that strap. Might have to use a stick. I don't care what you use, just as long as you get that arithmetic. Now listen, you can say I's wrong, but this a natural fact. Arithmetic ain't got no color. It ain't white, and it ain't black. Look at Lamar Jackson up in Baltimore Ravens. Signed a 5-year contract for $260 million. That ain't nothing but plain old arithmetic. Then Micah Parsons of them Dallas Cowboys. They say he's pulling a trick, but you can bet the reason for leaving, that boy knowed his arithmetic. Now take them Dallas Cowboys. Less them looking mighty sick. But them owners and coaches called a meeting and asked, Y'all counting up your arithmetic? Just think about all that money that makes your bank account thick. Some call it putting them down, but it ain't nothing but plain old arithmetic. Now take that Emmett Smith way back in the day. He tough as a cement brick, just running and kicking and twisting for a touchdown. That boy knowed his arithmetic. Now you can say that Dak Prescott, he throwed that ball and made it stick. He didn't feel them head blows, but that boy's counting up his arithmetic. Now, Fessa, keep yourself good, and don't you expose yourself to no getting sick. And I want to be well prepared so you can teach my boy some arithmetic. Now, Fessa, I was about to leave, but don't you play no trick. I got a lot of friends in this here town, and they's concerned about my boy's arithmetic. The USA done won. That's the name of the poem. The USA done won. Come here, honey. Let your mammy tell you something about your pa. What he was doing when he's a Sammy and fighting in the war. You don't know, I hardly reckon that your daddy crossed the sea with the good old 90 seconds for the sake of liberty. When the country was calling for some men to volunteer and shots and shells was falling, I just couldn't keep him here. He listed in the army for to whip the British hunt. And when things got real stormy, he's right down with his gun. He wouldn't get behind the udders. When the smoke was thick and black, he'd stand there with his brothers and help run them Germans back. He's always good and ready when he heard the firing call, and his aim so true and steady, they just couldn't help it fall. In the thickest of the battle, when the shot and shell would bust, you'd hear your pappy rattle with the gun flick at his whoop. Oops. You'd hear your pappy singing every time he'd wing a hun. Your pappy fit the battle of the USA, the USA, the USA. Your pappy fit the battle of the USA. And the imminent enemy come tumbling down. And full long the news was ringing that the USA done won. I always like to end with a prayer.
Amen.
And this is Ethan's prayer, by John Mason Brewer and others. Blessed Massa, this am Ephraim, that am bowing down to you and admitting that the Bible and from start to finish true. I want you to come down here, dear Massa, to this vile and wicked land and to lend all these here young folks what they need a helping hand. Will you please, sir, bless my preacher and bless his, and God bless his family too, though I know for I ask you that it's kind of hard to do. Cause his young'uns plays the banjo and Jim Turner's jazz time band. So the only thing I ask you to do is just do the best you can. Now, Lord, bless them musicians as they sing your praise. They come up telling me they's looking for a raise. I says, knows they ain't, but I knows they's for real. I work with them every Sunday, and I know exactly how they feel. Now, Lord, watch them deacons as they count mighty slow. That old wrestle. That old wrestle come up telling me that his pocket's getting low. Won't you bless my large grandmaster? Keep him sick for heaven's sake. And keep up with all the money that trifling rascal take. Now, don't let me forget my banker that I works for every week. Won't you please, sir, fix my temper so I'll think before I speak. Now, dear Lord, I's almost finished, but be sure you don't forget that the pew next to the altar on the right and where I sit. Oh, yes, Lord, lest I forget it, put some flour in my bin, and I want a little sugar with it. That's all I believes. Amen.
Let's give her a hand. That takes a lot of practice. And I hope one of our children one day will get $260 million so I can understand my arithmetic. But Pastor, we'll give 10%. We'll give that 10%. That's arithmetic. That's arithmetic. But those poems are history. That's not just African American history. That's American history. And Negro history. Negro dialect. And it's a part of all of us. And it's important that we keep these stories alive and make sure that we know our children and then our children's children know that we've all come a mighty long way. And God has brought us thus far. And so that by itself deserves an amen. Amen. And so let's give Sister Go Down another hand. Beautiful. Beautiful. All right, we have Brother Ellison's up right now. He's going to give us some more poetry, Moon Down and the River Nile. Niger. And I'm going to introduce this. And so I'm almost 50, and the eyesight is not what it used to be. And as we cross over, I can feel at midnight it's going to drop another part. So I'm going to try to read this before the eyesight drops again. All right, Brother Ellison, his first poem is an original created from his experience while on a clandestine military mission along the Mekong River, which forms the border of Laos, and Thailand. The river channels between two large hills on either side, and the moon is setting behind one of the hills. His second poem, the phrase, the River Niger poem, most commonly refers to the significant poem within Joseph A. Walker's Pulitzer Prize-winning play, The River Niger, where the title character, Johnny, recites lines like, I am the River Niger, hear my waters, symbolizing black identity, ancestral connection, and the search for liberation, with the river representing spiritual flow and strength amidst hardship and poverty in Harlem. Amen. Let's welcome Brother Deacon Ellison.
Thank you, Reverend West. We didn't wear helmets because they made too much noise. And we had to be stealthy in what we did. So that wasn't stealthy. Moon down. Dark before the dawn. Water lapping, forming a gateway between mountains. I'm chased by a mercurial darkness that has life-sapping fingers. Is this the night that the shadow overtakes me? On a distant hill, I see a shelter for my soul. I'm the wind that does not blow at moon down. Thank you.
I am the River Niger. Hear my water. I wiggle and scream and run. I'm totally flexible. I am the River Niger. Hear my waters. My waters are the first burn of the world. Life bursts from my liquid kernels like popcorn. Hear my waters. Rushing and popping in muffled drum staccato. It's life you hear, stretching its limbs in my waters. I'm the River Niger, hear my waters. When the earth mother cracked into continents, I vomited from the cold Atlantic to slip slyly into Africa from the underside of her brow. I see no, hear no, speak no evil, but I know. I gossip with the crocodile and rub elbows with the river horse. I have swapped morbid jokes with the hyena and his dry cackle in the twilight. I see no, hear no, speak no evil, but I know. I'm the River Niger, hear my waters. Hear me, I say, hear my waters. They is Mammy, Tammy, baby. I have wrapped the pugnacious hips of brown mamas. I've tapped on the doors of the honeydew. Yeah. I've shimmered like sequins. As they sucked me over the blueberry tongues, as they stung me to sleep in the glittering afternoon. Yeah. I've washed the red wounds of lay decorated warriors, bad, bad dudes who smirk at the leopard. I've cast witches from gabbling babies, yeah! Have purified the saliva from sun-drenched lions. Roar! Roar! I came to the cloudy Mississippi over keels of incomprehensible woe. I ran away to the Henry Hudson under the sails of ragged hope. Transplanted to Harlem from the Harlem River Drive. Hear me, my children, hear my waters. I sleep in your veins. I see no, hear no, speak no evil. But I know, and I know that you know, I flow to the ends of your spirit. Hold my hands, my children, and I will flow to the ends of the earth. The whole world will hear my waters. I'm the River Niger. Don't deny me. Do you hear me? Don't deny me.
Y'all, we can do better than that. That was good. That was good. That was good. That was good. Give him some more. That was good. Because poetry is art. And we have forgotten the power of art and how it speaks to the human condition and to our realities, and the fact that you tied in music, because we do forget the power of the Niger. Now that'll preach. Now I'm not going to preach unless you want to put a love offering down. Now I'm just playing. I preach the Lord tell me, but you know, but if you feel compelled, but we do forget the power of God in creation. These things sustain humanity, animals, plants, everything. So thank you for that. Let's give him one more hand. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. And I thought about Superfly. Now I'm not gonna sing the song, and some of y'all probably got the song on your Pandora. But yeah, but was it I'm Your Mom? But yeah, that's the jam. Good movie too. I love that movie too. I know it's not a Christian movie, but I know y'all don't watch that stuff. You know, all y'all movies are Hallmark and Lifetime. I know. All right. Well, we just thank everybody for participating. Before we bring Brother Milton up, we just want to welcome all of our any guests or people who've come home. Allison, you already know I'm going to call you out, so just wait. Do we have any guests? Anybody else? All right, so it's all yours. One of the homegrown members here that has gone off to do amazing things in Maryland, and we're so proud of her, Allison Davis. We love you so much. You know, you're my buddy, so, you know, I keep going, but I don't want to embarrass you, as I already have. But let's give Allison a hand and just thank God. Allison, and your guests, introduce your guests for us.
Hi, everybody. This is Greg Trammell, proceed for Delta. Eric's visiting. He just got off the plane a couple of hours ago, but he wanted to come to spend watch night with us, so we're happy to have him.
All right. Welcome. Thank you, Greg. Thanks for being here. Any friend of Allison's is a friend of ours. Amen. All right. So, Brother Milton is going to come up and give us a storyteller of how I came to Ebenezer.
Thank you for the opportunity to tell the story. John 3:17 says that God did not send his son to judge the world, but to save it.
Yeah.
And I know this because he saved me. And that's part of the story of how I came here. A wretch like me was saved. Amen. So when I was a child, and I was born in Austin, but moved to Midland when I was 3, and I attended Trinity Episcopal School. And every day, we would go to chapel in the morning, and I would look around and go, what is the point of all this? Mm-hmm. Now, I always believed in God. I never had any doubt whatsoever that God existed, but I never believed in Jesus, and I never believed in the church. And so I was a sinner pretty much my entire life. And I would go into chapel. We went to church. Not every week, but we would always go to a different church for some reason. And we'd go to Baptist, Episcopalian, Lutheran, Methodist. I mean, we just were always going to different churches. I don't know why that was, but it did give me a good, you know, taste or experience of different churches, including the Baptist church. But like I said, I never believed in Jesus and I didn't believe in the church. So, and that's a sin. And I was a sinner my whole life. Well, I was wrong. And I found out I was wrong in April 2022 when God entered my life.
Amen.
I was I saw some graffiti on a bathroom wall that said, Jesus is the only way out. And was thinking about it and was walking to the hike and bike trail down on Town Lake. And all of a sudden it just, like a wind hit me. And God started talking to me. And I was, you know, it almost knocked me over. And actually got me started running on the trail instead of walking. And I was like, why is God talking? And he told me a lot of things, but the three most important things that he told me, that John, Jesus is in fact the Son of God. You're wrong. He's not just a man. That's what I thought. He's just a really good guy that did a lot of really good things. And you're wrong about that, number one. Number two, that I needed to spend more time with my daughter, Maisie Melton, who at the time was 23 and was having problems. Mm-hmm. And so even though I didn't have the time because I was busy with legal work and all that stuff, I made the time anyway because when God tells you to do something, you need to do it. And I wanted to help out my daughter. So, and then the third thing he told me was that I needed to start reading the Bible. And that it contained the Word of God. So, for the first time in my life, I went out and bought a Bible. I'd, you know, read a little bit of it here and there, but not much. And so I went out and bought a Bible, started reading it. So I started in the beginning, you know, Genesis, and then I skipped to the end, Revelation. and then after that, I was, well, what do I do, you know? this is a long book. I'm having to spend time at work, spend more time with my daughter. I don't have time to sit around reading the Bible all the time.
That's right.
But so I was sitting there thinking about this. Okay, where do I go next? And I was walking down 4th Street by Republic Park, and a total stranger, a very tall gentleman, black gentleman in a suit, very nice suit, walks up to me and says, "Start with the Book of John." As I was thinking that. So it was like God sent a messenger to me to answer the question that was rattling around in my head. So I did. So, you know, for the first time in my life, I started reading the Bible, and I started with the Book of John. And started spending more time with my daughter, and started to come to believe that Jesus was Son of God who came to this world to save all of us. So, and then it read the Book of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And the one and only Son came to save the world. So this is a great gift that God gave me. Because in the next 7 months, I spent a lot of time with my daughter and taking her to lunch, taking her medical appointments. She had wrecked her car, so I was driving around all over the place. And she was a terrible driver. And she was turning her life around. And I was finally getting to know my daughter again. Like, I knew her when she was young. And then, of course, she became a teenager and did her own thing. But she could tell, she's very perceptive, and she could tell I was finally starting to listen to her. And so she told me all these stories that she'd never told me before. And, you know, we became closer and she started turning her life around. But why this was important, and I didn't know it at the time, was that on October 24th, 2022, it was part of God's plan to take my daughter away from the world. And so when that happened, obviously I was in shock, but it was a gift from God, because if God had not entered my life in April and had not told me to spend more time with my daughter and had not told me that Jesus was in fact the Son of God, I don't know if I could have handled it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it helped a lot. sometime after this, but I still didn't believe in the church institution itself. I believed in Jesus now, but I didn't really believe in the church. But a friend of mine named Robert Solario said, you need to start going to church because of the people that are in it. Whether you have any problems with the institution, the people there are what makes the church, so you need to go. So I started going around Austin, visiting, kind of like what I did when we were kids, visiting various churches, you know, all over town, various denominations. I actually went to a Catholic Spanish-speaking service, which was interesting. Every now and then I hear the word Jesus, I knew what that meant. But so, but what brought me here was a good friend of mine named Ben Lyons, who was one of the first persons I met when I got back to Austin in the sixth grade at Hill Country Middle School. His dad, Gus, I'm sure some of y'all know him, had been a long time member here, and he unfortunately passed away a few years ago. But I remembered, I actually attended his service here. And so, you know, I wanted to basically check out Ebenezer. And when I got here, I loved it. And it was my all-time favorite church that I've ever been to. And so when I was invited, when the invitation to discipleship thing happened, I didn't really know what was going on. I was like, finally I asked somebody and they're asking if you want to become a member. I'm like, oh. It's like, I didn't realize that. So I was like, yeah. So, in conclusion, one of the other things I was told is that someday there's going to be one church, and we're going to be one, and it'll be, you know, I don't know what it'll be called, but it'll involve Jesus, and so that was some of the good news that I was given. So, thank you for your time. Amen.
Amen. That is wonderful. What a sermon, what a testimony, what a story to share. You know, many times we are on this road so long, serving and just doing the thing, that we forget what brought us in the relationship with the Lord. And all I thought about when he says, Andre Christ says, I feel that I'm so far from you, Lord. I can hear you calling me. Those simple things that I once knew. Those memories are drawing me. I must confess. Oh, that I've been blessed, and yet still, help me out. My soul's not satisfied. Hey, renew my strength, restore my joy, and draw my weeping eyes. Come on, take me back. Come on now. And this is a perfect time to go back to where we first received the Lord, to go back. And that testimony, that story, I'm telling you, that is what called us all here. At some point, some way, God touched us. And thank you for sharing. And don't ever leave that place. Because that's where the source, the power is to help somebody know who God is through Jesus Christ. Let's give him a hand again. I ain't mean to sing the whole song, but I couldn't come back. I thank Brother Davis for drawing me. All right. Now we got a quiz. We got time. Oh, you want to do Kwanzaa? Let's do Kwanzaa first. Okay. All right. I got to do some labor. All right. At 11, we'll have some testimony time. We have time. Time for testimonies.
Good evening, church family, and happy New Year's Eve. As we gather tonight to reflect on where we have been and prepare our hearts for where God is leading us, we are grateful for the opportunity to pause and honor a tradition that speaks to reflection, purpose, and community. Tonight, the Swisher Organ family will be sharing a brief presentation on Kwanzaa Unwrapped. We will introduce what Kwanzaa is, walk through the 7 days of Kwanzaa, and explain the meaning behind each day and its guiding principle. These principles, such as unity, self-determination, collective work, and responsibility and faith, align closely with the values many of us strive to live out daily in our families, churches, and community. It is important to know about Kwanzaa because it is a meaningful cultural celebration within Black culture, created to honor African heritage, affirm identity, and reinforce values that have sustained Black communities through generations. Understanding Kwanzaa helps deepen cultural awareness, fosters respect, and reminds us to have strength, reliance, and the contributions of Black people, both historically and today. So join me as we see this short video that I was saying we because my son is en route from Mansfield, Texas, and they're in traffic.
1966 by Dr. Malana Karenga. It focuses on unity, culture, and community values. The celebration takes place from December 26th, which is the day after Christmas, to January 1st, which is New Year's Day. Isn't that a great looking family right there? The meaning of the word Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa comes from Swahili for Matunda ya Kwanzaa, meaning first fruits. It is inspired by African harvest festivals. Now we're going to talk about the Kwanzaa symbols. And I ask that you bear with me as I pronounce these to the best of my ability. First we have Ki Nara. Then we have Mishuma Saba. Ki Nara represents the candle holder. Mishuma Saba represents the seven candles. Next we have Mkaka, which is the straw mat. Then we have Mazao for fruits and vegetables. Then we have Ki Kambe Cha U Moja, which represents a unity cup. And then we have Za Wadi, which is for gifts. Now we will discuss the seven principles of Kwanzaa, or Nguzo Saba. Everyday Kwanzaa has one of these principles. So here they are in my best pronunciations. Day one, we do it with Umoja, unity, to maintain unity in the family and community, nation, and race. Is this a good looking family photo? Next, we have Kuji Cha Gu Bia, self-determination, to be responsible for the community and to speak for oneself. Then we have Ujima, collective work and responsibility, to build and maintain our community together. In day four, we have Ujamaa, cooperative economics, to build and maintain stores, shops, and other businesses within the community. Our fifth principle is Nia, which means purpose, to make our collective vocation the building and developing of our community. Day six, Kuumba, which is creativity, to do as much as we can to leave our community more beautiful and beneficial than we inherited it. Shout out to my wife for the logo that you just see right there. Then we have, for day 7, the 7th principle, Imani, faith. To believe with all our hearts in our people, our parents, our leaders, and the righteousness of our struggle. Isn't that a good looking man right there? How is Kwanzaa celebrated? One way, lighting the kinara. Another way, sharing stories, music, and traditions. A third way, having a Karamu feast, December 31st, New Year's Eve. And giving meaningful and often handmade gifts. This picture right here represents a tradition that the Swisher family does by visiting Kalahari each year. And it's been a lot of fun these last few years. One symbol used to celebrate Kwanzaa is a flag. The flag consists of the colors red, black, and green. Red represents the struggles of ancestors and the blood they shed. Black represents the color of the African race. Green represents the land of Africa and hope. Why does Kwanzaa matter? Kwanzaa strengthens cultural identity, encourages unity and purpose, promotes creativity and community building, and its values apply to everyone. Again, another great family photo here. In closing, Kwanzaa is a celebration of culture, community, and shared values. Thank you so much for listening and watching this presentation. I have been your narrator, Rodney I.W. Swisher. I wish you a happy Kwanzaa and a happy new year.
As we close our presentation, we, Swisher and Oregon family, would like to share gifts. These are Kwanzaa bookmarkers, and this is a way to carry the principles that we just talked to you about with you beyond tonight into the new year ahead. Thank you for allowing us this moment to share, reflect, and celebrate Kwanzaa. Yeah.